لبيك اللهم لبيك، لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك، إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك. يا ربي لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك وعظيم سلطانك. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربنا زدنا علما، اللهم فقهنا في الدين. ربي يسر ولا تعسر، وتمم بالخير، وبك نستعين يا فتح. آمين ثم آمين يا رب العالمين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. My dear seekers of knowledge, how is everyone doing this morning? Alhamdulillah, beautiful day and beautiful lessons to learn, inshallah wa ta'ala, and revision of the beautiful lessons we learned yesterday, subhanallah. On behalf of Nurul Quran International Institute, the entire team of Journey Through Quran, welcome you all in live session of June 16th, Bi'idhnillah. And did you realize that we have started the descent of our Journey Through Quran for Ramadan? Subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us cherish every day, every juz, and be thankful for this opportunity, and make us take all the lessons we can from the rest of the journey, inshallah wa ta'ala. Ameen, summa ameen. Alhamdulillah, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessings, we completed juz 15th yesterday. Loads of beautiful messages. Loads of learning points and how to save ourselves from the different trials we are facing and inshallah ta'ala we will face. Juz theme was? What was the juz theme? Yes, sisters? Anyone remembers? Type one, who is present in the room? I'm still waiting.
We cannot type, it's disabled.
Okay, I'm sorry. Could you please enable the chat, please? Jazakumullah khairan kaseera, wasim jaza. Alhamdulillah, I think it is disabled now. No problem, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. So what was the theme of yesterday's juz, juz 15th? Doing? No, the theme of the juz. Whatever good you do will come back to you. That was the theme of the juz. Allahu Akbar. And I'm sure that none of us want the goodness to not come into our lives, right? So when we want the goodness to enter into our lives, then it encourages us to do good too. We started with Surah Bani Israel, Alhamdulillah. And it was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's granting goodness to his most obedient slave, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Granting goodness for his tireless efforts to spread goodness. We learn that we are the writers of the book of deeds. And what was the goodness? I just missed that. It was Asra wal Miraj. And it was year when Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam was granted this Miraj. Can somebody tell me what was the year? Year of the grief. When Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam's beloved wife, Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, and Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam's uncle, he passed away. Sorry, grandfather. So that was the year of Amul Huzn. So he was granted this most, goodness, most reward for to just ease his grief, inshallah. And then we learned that we are the writers of the book of deeds we will receive at the day of judgment. We were warned that it's up to us what we write. It's our choice, whether good or bad. If we desire dunya only, then we put our akhirah on layaway. So we will get dunya only. But if we desire akhirah, then inshallah wa ta'ala we will be granted dunya as a bonus. So and we learned the dua, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. So inshallah wa ta'ala we will keep on doing this dua for our better dunya and better akhirah inshallah wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want us to appreciate three things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself appreciate three of the things. And what were those three things? When a slave desired akhirah with sincerity. That was number one. Number two was all the efforts done according to the sunnah. And then third, iman. These are the things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is appreciative of. And we are required to maintain these things. So I was just wondering, you know, can you imagine how does it feel to even fathom the thought that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is appreciative of our deeds? Subhanallah. Desire of akhirah, yes, alhamdulillah. Just the thought is so encouraging that this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's promise. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's promise are not fake. So it gives us encouragement to do good, to seek akhirah, to do everything, all the deeds with our sincerity and according to the sunnah and maintaining our iman, highest levels of iman, inshallah wa ta'ala. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala advised us to treat the parents with respect in such a beautiful dua taught. So do you all remember this dua, or you have started memorizing it, or رَبِّرْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رُبَّيَّانِي صَغِيرًا. It's a small dua, and inshallah ta'ala it will be very easy for everyone to memorize, inshallah. And it will be, of course, dua for our parents, and we can teach our kids. So they are sadqah jariyah for us too, inshallah ta'ala. So it goes both ways. Then we learned how important it is to use Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessings, like ears, eyes, and heart, in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not in his disobedience, right? Because he subhanahu wa ta'ala can catch them, snatch them from us at any given time. Flash of a second, it's gone. And I have few people in my life who lost their eyesight. They were seeing all their lives, and all of a sudden something happens and they lost. And I see how it affected their quality of life. It is, you know, very, very important to honor each and every blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given, you know, with obedience, inshallah wa ta'ala. Then we learned our bodies will decompose once we are in our graves, but it is not at all difficult for the Lord of the universe to regrow them. And we will be standing in front of our Lord for the promised meeting. Now the question is, my dear sisters, are we ready for that meeting? That's the question. A very thought-provoking question. What exactly we are doing for it, for that meeting, to prepare for that meeting? If we have any corporate meeting, anybody who's in corporate world or in any form or shape where they have to join a meeting, how much they prepare for that meeting, any presentation or anything. Days, hours they spend to prepare for that meeting. But how many hours, how many days, how many years we are spending to prepare ourselves for that meeting? Question. Am I taking Quranic messages, warnings, commandments seriously? Am I serious about it? Am I serious about the learning of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requires of me? Then as a true believer, we do not need any miracles to believe any of the promises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his words are enough for us. We have to honor Quran and have to give its due right by making Quran a permanent part of our lives. We were told that shaitan pray for our children. How he attacks. we were guided how to save our kids and save ourselves from our mortal enemy. Then Suratul Kahf, subhanallah, with great virtues. And we were mentioned four major trials in the surah. Can you name them? Aqeedah, trial of aqeedah, trial of wealth, trial of knowledge, trial of power. We nailed two of them, aqeedah and wealth. And inshallah wa ta'ala, next two we will be seeing in Juz 16, biznillah. We learned the importance of true iman, the extensive steps we have to take to save it. It is the most important commodity we will cherish and we have. We have to safeguard it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us to safeguard this important commodity of our lives. And we should not shy away from any and every sacrifice we have to endure, even it means leaving our loved ones behind. Just like Ashabul Kahf. They cherished their iman so much, they left each and everything. They were very wealthy, they had a very cherished life, but they left everything so they could save their iman. And this is our incentive. If any kind of trial of iman hits us, we have to save our iman. Forget about other things. Other things we can achieve later. Or if we can, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised us in the day after, inshallah wa ta'ala, hereafter, we will get them. But once we lose iman, we are doomed. We have nothing. We have nothing at all. We are penniless. Period. People of cave passed in this test, this trial. Now the question is, are iman that strong to withhold any test, any trial coming our way? That's the question. In test of wealth, we learned that we have to refrain ourselves from boasting about any and every blessings we receive from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Boasting makes a person arrogant, and arrogance takes away the yaqeen of akhirah. Then we think we deserve this. We have the right to get it. And that we have to refrain from. That kind of attitude we have to refrain from. Blessings are trial of this dunya, and in akhirah, these blessings will be a gift, a reward from our maker. Right? Let's cherish and gratify the blessings. So what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows can also snatch back. Keeping this in mind, let's join Sister Faiza for another session to boost our iman and continue with Juz 16th, inshallah wa ta'ala. A reminder for myself first and to you all to stay focused, take notes and do loads of du'as for our guidance and gratitude for the blessings of Quran in our lives, inshallah wa ta'ala. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Jazakumullah khairan kaseera wa ahsan jaza. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Jazakumullahu khairan kaseera. Alhamdulillah. Another day, another beautiful time. And 16 juz. That means we have reached past the peak and now we are going in speed. Let's make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it possible for us to get the most after today's juz. Because in today's juz, we will learn about Maryam alayhi salam and her character and how she kept her in devoted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is an amazing story. Also in today's juz, we will learn a lot of things other than that. And Surah Taha is beautiful. And then we'll do Surah Maryam. Let's start our journey with a recitation of Quran. Let's listen to first few ayahs of today's juz and then we'll begin, inshallah.
قال ألم أقل لك إنك لن تستطيع معي صبرا قال إن سألتك عن شيء بعدها فلا تصاحبني قد بلغت من لدني عذرا فانطلقا حتى إذا أتيا أهل قرية استطعما أهلها فأبوا أن يضيفوهما فوجدا فيها جدارا يريد فوجدا فيها جدارا يريد أن ينقض فأقامه قال لو شئت لاتخذت عليه أجرا قال هذا فراق بيني وبينك سأنبئك بتأويل ما لم تستطع عليه صبرا
نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعده فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ربي اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربنا زدنا علما اللهم فقهنا في الدين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته I hope all of you have already made the dua and said A'udhu Billah and said the dua of seeking knowledge. You know why? Because seeking knowledge is the part of the Iman. And today the theme of the juz is that. And juz 16 theme for today is seek knowledge. You know why? Because this is the missing ingredients in the life of Muslim Ummah. This is why we see the downfall of Muslim Ummah. Today, people can do anything and everything. They can take time out to prepare for a lot of stuff. But when it comes to learning, seeking knowledge in a proper fashion, they are lacking in it. But Alhamdulillah, Allah SWT has chosen you, the proud, the chosen one, who are sitting here for one and one reason, and that is to seek knowledge so they can attain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so they can know what is the purpose of this life. And you know what? If you ask any person out there, what is the purpose of the life? Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you? They can say, oh, just to live and maybe obey Allah and that's it. Some people will say the purpose of life is to worship Allah and do five pillars. If they're Muslim, right? And if they're non-Muslim, they'll say, purpose of life is to just make this life fun, happy, grow, and be nice. And that's it. A lot of people do not even know what the purpose of life is. And you know who tells us this? Knowledge tells us this. Tells us this. This is why we're going to see this today's juz in light of that. Because it was the knowledge that made Maryam alayhi salam Maryam. It was the knowledge that made Musa alayhi salam Musa. It was knowledge that made the Fir'aun, in the time of Fir'aun, the magicians, it was the knowledge that they got from Musa alayhi salam by watching the miracles. It made them people of Iman. So the importance of knowledge is very important. And why is it important? Because Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was told to ask this dua that you see on your screen. Rabbi zidni ilma. I'm sure you already say it, you already know it. But do you know, when we see this dua, this was the dua taught by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam directly. Now my question to you, do you think Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not have any knowledge? But you know what, it shows the importance of knowledge. Even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, قُلْ سَيْ رَبِّي زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. This is why it is a sunnah to seek knowledge. And today we're going to do just that. They make an intention to seek more knowledge. Now, how many of you want to seek knowledge? If you do, type 1. And inshallah, with that, we go to the next slide. The connection between Juz 15 and Juz 16 theme. Why? Because we need to know in Juz 15, we learn that doing good comes back to you, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us the ayah in the Quran, whatever you do good, it's for your own good. And now the question comes in mind, what is it good? What is good? Meaning, a lot of people have a lot of concept about what is good and what is not. If you talk to a certain sect of Muslims, they will say following their sect is the goodness. If you talk to another sect, they will say following their sect is the goodness. And if you follow non-Muslim, if you ask them, they will say, oh, doing good and this way and whatever they believe in, that's what they're going to think it's good. All the people who are doing good, they think they're the best thing that they can do. And people argue just to prove their point that whatever they are thinking, it's the right thing to do. This is why seeking proper knowledge. And today in this juz, we will learn the dua, this dua Rabbi Zidni Ilma will come to, and then another dua will come to. And today the main theme of today's juz is knowledge, because we will continue the story of Musa and Khidr alayhi salam, in which Musa alayhi salam, despite of being prophet, he went out of his way to seek more knowledge. And this is what's missing in our ummah right now. People do not even go out of the way. Forget about going out of the way. Within their time frame, even if they have time, they have time to scroll down the messages. They have time to watch all the video forwards that come on their WhatsApp group, but they do not find time. When you ask them, you know, there's a Quran class going on, you know what people say? People say, yeah, yeah, I know about it, but you know what? I don't have time. I have this thing to do. I have that thing to do. And if you think about it, time is something that comes to you if you take time for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the question comes in, why should we seek knowledge, right? So, first thing is, it will come back to you. And if you go to the next slide, you will see that there are some things listed that why we should seek knowledge. Inshallah, let's see. Number one thing is, it's a sunnah. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was seeking knowledge directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through Jibreel alayhi salam. So think of it, that I am seeking knowledge, I am following the sunnah. Sahaba used to seek knowledge from Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Tabi'een seek knowledge from Sahaba, and Taba Tabi'een seek knowledge from Tabi'een, meaning the people who came after the generation, after the generation, after. And then there was a generation, then all those four ulama came, Imam Shafi, Imam Hanbal, and all those, right? So all this knowledge is being transferred. So this is why we need to be, you and I need to be the chain, to carrier of this chain, so this chain doesn't broke. So, and also the second thing is, it's a requirement. It is not a choice. People think, if I have time, when my kids grow up, when I'm not working, when I retire from my workplace, then I will seek knowledge. Here, we can understand this point, you know. People learn knowledge of this dunya to work in this dunya for a few years. Like, for example, 10 years of school knowledge will give you a job here. 15 years or 20 years of medical knowledge will give you a job for 30, 40, 50 years in this world. Now, people say, I am a working woman. I don't have time to seek knowledge. Well, for them, the answer is, yes, you are a working woman, but the knowledge that you have, it is benefiting you in this dunya for 30, 40, 50 years maximum. No more than that. That after that, you're going to die. So what kind of knowledge you should seek and take some time out from your life's busy schedule to seek knowledge 1 or 2 years for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that knowledge that you will learn, the knowledge of Quran and Sunnah, will stay for you forever. And after that, if you decide, you can go back to the first workforce if you like. No, nobody's stopping you. But at least you should consider seeking knowledge. Right this moment, try to think, from the rest of my life, what do I want? I may be a very successful woman in my career, in my community, in my society, but do I have the knowledge of the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not? So, can I ask you a question? If I ask you a question, how many of you are truly interested in seeking knowledge of Quran in your life? If you are, you can type 1. And based on that, we will decide in future whether we should offer the course or not. Because if you are not interested, then who should we offer the course for? So let's make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make seeking knowledge fun for you, entertaining for you. You know why? Because only then knowledge becomes part of your body, or else it stays in a level of information. And the next important point is, it's a right of your child that you seek ilm. What do I mean by that? Imagine if you are not knowledgeable yourself and you are trying to teach your child something, what are you going to teach? You're going to teach what you know. What do you know? Do you know that you know everything? So it is so important, because if you don't seek knowledge, you are depriving your child from learning knowledge from you. This means that whatever they become, this is because of your lack of knowledge. So this should motivate you and I to seek knowledge. And the next is, knowledge is a heritage of prophets. People leave inheritance for their children, right? And money, the gold, the house and car and stuff. But people don't pay attention to leaving the heritage of knowledge to their kids. Prophets, all the prophets, left the knowledge as a heritage. They did not had any wealth or anything. The knowledge they had, that was the wealth they had. And the next point here is that ilm benefits us, not the information. What do I mean by that is, there's a difference between seeking information and seeking ilm. So let's make the odd that we seek ilm, the proper knowledge, not the information, because today we live in a time and the knowledge, the information is on our fingertips. But the reason you don't see that information being implemented anywhere is because the ilm is not there. And I'll tell you in the next point, and that is the theme of today's basically, and that is, if you see this red color, education is a combination of ilm plus adab. What does that mean? Meaning, knowledge basically that you gain, it doesn't come unless it has adab in it. Meaning, you have to have a character building with the knowledge, or else the knowledge is not valuable. Today, the lack of adab, the lack of mannerism of seeking knowledge is missing. This is why we see this world suffering. Despite of having information, people do not find the love of Allah in their heart, because adab of seeking knowledge is gone. Next point is, ilm does tazkiyah and purification of soul, meaning you are basically purifying your soul by seeking knowledge. And the next point is, ilm develops patience. We have been learning from the Juz 1 till now that patience is part of Islam. It's part of our iman, and seek help through patience. And you know what? When we actually become a proper student of knowledge, that's when you gain information turns into knowledge. You know why? Because during seeking information on your fingertips at the comfort of your home, it's just information. But when you make an effort, sign up, sit there, and be attentive as if your teacher is sitting right in front of you. Even if you're taking an online class, you should be so focused that your teacher is sitting right in front of you watching, and your heart is in there. Only then your soul will purify from that knowledge, and you will develop patience from it. And ilm gives you hikmah. Information doesn't give you hikmah. Like I told you the example yesterday, like for example, the information is the tap water is hot. That's an information. People have a lot of this information. But when they go out there, they actually touch and feel the tap water, whether it's hot or not, experience it, that's when the knowledge becomes knowledge. So this is how it will give you hikmah. Raising kids require hikmah. If we want to raise a generation that can be the leaders of the ummah, then we should try hard to gain knowledge. And ilm brings khashiyah. What is khashiyah? Khashiyah is the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we've been learning from the day one that taqwa is needed in our life. Taqwa is something that stops you from doing wrong. Taqwa is something that keeps you going. Taqwa is something that actually makes you do and follow the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So knowledge will give you that. And of course, also knowledge brings honor. What does that mean? When a person gain some knowledge, people recognize that person. You know, there are thousands of doctors out there, for example, right? They're very good at it. Alhamdulillah, they're doing a great job. There's nothing wrong with it. They're doing an amazing, awesome job, especially nowadays. They're the front runners who are really protecting the whole world, right? But when you seek knowledge along with the knowledge of the doctorship, then you become memorable to people, meaning now you are memorable in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now you have saved your knowledge and make it permanent that you can take it with you in Jannah, and that's what it is. So inshallah, let's make intention right now before we move forward that yes, I am willing to seek knowledge in a proper fashion. Let's go to the next slide, and you will see the dua which also comes in the same juz in Surah Taha, ayah number 32, and this we already most of you already know probably, and the dua is Rabbi shrahli sadri wa yassirli amri wahlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli waj'alni waziran min ahli ujdud bihi azri. My Lord, expand for me my breast with assurance. And this is what we need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us knowledge so I can really be confident with it. So you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, expand my breast with assurance, and while you're silly amri, ease for me my task. It could be any task, and the task of seeking knowledge and task of giving knowledge. وَحْلُ الْأُخْدَةَ مِنْ لِسَانِي, and untie the knot from my tongue that they may understand my speed. وَأَنْ وَجَعَلْنِي وَزِيرًا مِنْ أَهْلِي, and appoint for me a minister for my family. Why are you adding this line and this ayah in there? Because seeking knowledge is one thing, but you want your family to go with you. They should be assisting you with the knowledge that you are seeking. They should be there with your right hand so they can actually encourage you and be a part of you so we all go together. This is why you need to make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts your family on your side. Imagine if everybody is on the same page in a family, right? The life would be so much easier. So this is why we need to add these two ayahs, because these are the dua Musa alayhi salam asked, and this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Harun alayhi salam the prophecy too. So we say, وَجَعَلْنِي وَزِيرًا مِنْ أَهْلِي, make a person who can be from my family, then he can assist me in seeking knowledge, gaining knowledge, passing knowledge, learning knowledge, and all these. اُشْتُدْ بِهِ أَزْرِي, and strengthen, and let him share my task. Meaning, you both go together. You and your spouse both serve in the way of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You and your children, all of them become part of this journey together. Do we want that? If we do, then this Ramadan, make one of your goal that moving forward, I want to take my family along with me in a journey of learning Quran, inshallah. With that, let's go to the juz 16, and some of the main topics that we will learn today are, there is hikmah in everything. Be a student so you can be a teacher. Power is test. And Maryam alayhi salam's amazing story we will learn. Save yourself from regrets. There will be a lot of ayahs about the day of judgment. And then we need to learn how to save ourselves. And what are the righteous deeds? Because deeds can be many. They can be good deeds but not righteous. So we will learn that. And collect worthwhile deeds, because deeds may be good, but if they are not righteous, they will be weightless. And then we see the importance of it. Seek ilm, not the information. Unusual du'as can be accepted and answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at any given day. And how does it work? We will see when Zakariya alayhi salam talks about it. And the piety becomes a test. For Maryam alayhi salam, she was a devout Muslimah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested her through her piety. True iman makes you bold, it gives you confidence, and sincerity matters a lot. And prepare the hearts now to absorb all the knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, inshallah. With that, let's go to the first ayah of today's juz, which is ayah number 75. And in this paragraph from ayah number 75 to 82, we will learn that trials mean something. Meaning, trials will come and they have some goodness in them. We just don't know it. When we get into this complaining mode, then trials becomes even more harder. So we will learn, inshallah, that every time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put anybody in the trial, there is a hidden hikmah behind it. And for the time being, it may be a test, but there's always goodness in the trials. Always goodness in the trial. you know, how the trials become goodness, if you really take it the way they are without complaining mode, with sabun jameel, and hold on. It is not easy to do that. I know that. But you know what? You probably know that too. But this is what we're learning here. And this is what knowledge gives you and I. In this ayah, we learn, قَالَ أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكَ إِنَّكَ لَنْ تَفُضِيَ مَعَيَ الصَّبْرًا. Al-Khidr said, did I not tell you that with me you would not never be able to have patience? From this story of Khidr and Musa alayhi salam, we're learning the mannerism of seeking knowledge. You know why? Because if we have this mannerism of seeking knowledge, only then knowledge is beneficial for us. So here we learn that you have to have patience when you're seeking knowledge. And the good teacher, the job of the good teacher is to train them and give them tarbiyah. Why do you think that people send their children to school even though textbooks are sitting at home? Why can't they just open the textbook and learn themselves? You know why? Because you need a teacher who can do tarbiyah, the explanation, the deeper understanding of the text that is written in the book. And this is why formal education is important. And this is what Musa alayhi salam went to get to the teacher to learn, even though he was a prophet himself. So what do we learn? Seeking knowledge is endless journey, and may Allah make it possible for us to stay on this journey. And قَالَ إِن سَأَلْتُكَ عَنْ شَيْءٍ بَعْدَهَا فَلَا تُصَاحِبْنِي قَدْ بَلَغْتَ مِنْ لَدُنِّي عُزْرًا. Musa said, if I should ask you about anything after this, then do not keep me as a companion. You have obtained from me an excuse. Musa alayhi salam already gave the excuse to the teacher that you don't have to keep me. And you know why Musa alayhi salam was not able to hold patience? Because Musa alayhi salam was a prophet and he had a strong iman. And when he saw something wrong, he had to speak up. What we learn from this, it's a good thing a person, a believer who has a knowledge, if they see something wrong, if they stay quiet, that means they're being part of it. This is why Musa alayhi salam was not able to hold the patience. It's not that he didn't have the learning mannerism, it's just he was so furious that when he saw wrong, he spoke up. In other words, he was a true picture of Amar bil Ma'ruf wa Nahi anil Munkir, meaning when he saw wrong, he did not stay quiet. He had to speak up, and this is a very good quality. And so they set out until when they came to the people of the town, they asked its people for food, but they refused to offer them hospitality. And they found their inner wall about to collapse. So he, meaning Khidr, restored it. Now notice here, people were being bad to him. They did not offer them to food and to place to stay. And what Khidr alayhi salam did, they built a wall. Why? Because every apparent thing is something that we see may not be right thing to do. So a normal person, you and I, who would not have any knowledge, what would we do? We say, see, this is how they are. That's it. I'm just not going to meet them anymore. But Khidr alayhi salam, he had the knowledge, so he restored it. Musa alayhi salam said, if you wish, you could have taken for it a payment. He said, at least you could have asked the money, you know. And Qala, Al-Khidr said, this is parting between me and you, because this was the third attempt, right? So what do we learn here is that when students make mistake, it's okay. Give them time. Three times you can give them time. And if they still don't learn it, then you can put some kind of a restriction, some kind of a stipulation for them to not to repeat the same mistake again. I will inform you of the interpretation. What does that mean? That means if we are teaching something to somebody, then explain them why. Here we can learn some tarbiyah issue between the mother and a child. When a mother tells something to the child and they say, like for example, pray. That's it. But mother doesn't tell. If the child is smart enough, he's asking, why should I pray? Instead of getting mad, explain them. Because logic is important. Kids are smart. They can take information. You just have to explain them. Of that about which you could not have patience. As for the ship, and now the explanation of all those three things that happened. As for the ship, it belonged to poor people working at the sea. So I intended to cause defeat in it, as there was after them a king who seized every good ship by force. So this is why he made a hole in the ship and broken it so the king doesn't steal it. What did we learn from it? We don't know any future, right? So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts something in our way, why should we complain? Because we don't know our future. Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saving us from something bigger. Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is diverting us because I was going stray. Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bringing us back so we can love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more. Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to help us and have mercy on us by seeing that if we're patient or not. Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to become a grateful slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to take away the arrogance that might be coming in their heart and we don't even know it, right? So this is why he made the defect. And the second story's ending is, as for the boy, his parents were believers. I want you to highlight this thing. وَأَمَّا الْغُلَامُ فَكَانَ أَبَوَاهُ مُؤْمِنِينَ فَخَشِينَ. And they were believers, and we feared that he would overburden them by transgressing and disbelief. What do we learn? Goodness of parents comes back to a child. This is why seeking knowledge is so important. Because knowledge not just brings honor in your life, but it brings honor in your child's life. Because of the pious parents, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects the children. And seeking knowledge and having adab of seeking knowledge is so important because Ibn Wahab, he was one of the students of Imam Malik. He said, I got ill not from knowledge, but by the tarbiyah. And what we learn here is that tarbiyah comes from the teacher. And here Musa alayhi salam is learning the tarbiyah. He's learning the method of training, that how teacher should respond. When you read all this in a book, it's a different story. When you hear it, learn it through teacher, it affects you differently. And you know what? Imam Malik was also a student of Imam Shafi. All these four imams respected each other, even though they had a different fiqh issues. But still, that doesn't mean that they hated each other. Today we see Muslim Ummah divided into these four groups and thinking that my Imam is the best one. But they forget that all those Imam had utmost respect for each other. And they would follow each other's fiqh issue in front of them. So what do we learn here? Patience is something that is missing in our daily life. If we want Muslim Ummah to rise again, that we must educate ourselves. And you know what? Education comes with adab. Only informative education is not enough. And our predecessors, when they used to seek knowledge, they used to spend so much time and they used to learn so much respect of their teachers that they would wait and they would not disturb their teacher and they would just stay quiet. They would not ask questions. And Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal would not even take the name of the teacher out of the respect. And Ali radiallahu anhu said, I am a slave of those who taught me one word of ilm. Even if somebody teaches you only one word, you should have utmost respect for them. All these hafiz, alim, teachers, and imam of masjid, all these people deserve respect. We should try utmost to respect them, sit properly in front of them, keep your tone of voice very low, be mindful of their comfort, don't disturb them in their privacy hours, wait for them. Jabir traveled 1 month to the sheikh to gain some knowledge, and we got there, the door was closed, and he waited, and when the sheikh came out, he said, I didn't know you were waiting, you should have knocked the door. He said, how could I? I thought you were resting. How can I disturb you? You are my teacher. This is the level of respect. If this is really implemented in this system of society in the West and the East of the world would be a different place. Today we see kids have no respect for the teacher. They have actually taken their name and they don't even think that they need to sit properly in front of the teacher. And imagine, this is what we see today, that kids are growing up as a generation where there is no respect for the teachers, then there is no respect for the parents. They yell in front of the parents. They think it's their right to yell. And this is what we have done to ourselves. So be mindful that we need to gain knowledge. Abdullah bin Abbas, in Hadith in Muslim, we learned that the meaning of the Hadith is that Prophet ﷺ used to make dua for himself, then others, and he said, if Musa ﷺ would have been patient that day, we would have learned more knowledge. So what we learn, it is so important that we seek knowledge, and also the mothers of our predecessors used to give dua to their children that, you know what, Allah give you in the company of Muhaddis, meaning the person who does write in, he has an ilm of hadith. Today, mothers don't give these types of dua. They give dua, Allah make you doctor, Allah make you engineer. Fine, they can become that too, nothing wrong. But do mothers give this dua, Allah make you alim of Quran, Allah make you imam of the Kaaba, Allah make you muhaddis of hadith, Allah make you a knowledgeable person who has adab and he teaches thousands and millions of people. This is the du'as we need to give. And here we can do self-analysis for ourselves. Feel yourself as a student. What kind of knowledge you are gaining and you want to gain, and how are you taking it? Are you absorbing the information only, or do you have a mindset of changing your heart? So, inshallah, let's move forward with our lesson. And as for the wall, it belonged to two orphan boys in the city, and there was beneath it a treasure for them, and their father had been righteous. Notice here again. Because of the righteousness of the father, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected the wealth of the children, even the father was not there. Guess who protected it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why you and I have to really try utmost our best to be righteous, so our kids can be protected too. And you know, kids reciprocate. If you seek knowledge, if you give importance to knowledge, automatically you're raising an ummah and do it tarbiyah without even using any words. So your Lord intended that they reach maturity and extract their treasures as a mercy from your Lord. Notice here, this is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who deserves it? The one who seeks knowledge and lives a pious life. And I did it not of my own accord. That is interpretation of that which you could not have patience. So what did we learn here? Patience is extremely important in seeking knowledge. The lesson from this paragraph is, things happen for a reason. Experts know what is in it and trust them. Allah is the best expert and He is Al-Hakim. Develop accepting nature. Save yourself from misery. First learn and ask questions later. And learn from practical expeditions. Hands-on learning is very important. It's one thing you say, go pray. It's another thing you say, let's pray. It's one thing you say, didn't I tell you not to lie? It's another thing, being truthful with them too. Ilm is a combination of knowledge plus tarbiyah, right? And be focused while learning. Because the more focused you are, the more knowledge will enter in your heart. Be happy, no complaints. In the next paragraph, we learn from ayah number 83 to 101, a just ruler is a treasure for any nation. And here we're going to learn the story of Zulqarnain. Zulqarnain was a king, and he was given this title of Zulqarnain because it means two horns. Just for the brief history, Iran was divided into two parts, and Zulqarnain was the one who united the two parts. That's why he was given this title of Zulqarnain. And he was a very just and pious ruler, and he was given a lot of resources and wealth and health. But guess what? He said, since I have everything, I'm just going to sit back, relax, and enjoy my wealth and my fortress and my luxurious life. He could have done that. But if he would have done that, do you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would mention him in this Quran? No, right? Because there are a lot of people out there in our time today who are in the greatest, highest level of positions, and they're the leaders of the country, leaders of their own community. But if they don't come out from their cubbyhole to help the people, people would not remember them. Zulqarnain's story is in Quran until the day of judgment for a reason. You know why? Because he was blessed. He had all the knowledge of the dunya, all the knowledge of the deen, and he had power, and he was in control. He had a choice not to do anything, but he didn't. He went out on expeditions after expeditions, and he actually tried his best to spread the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us this ability that we can raise a generation who can become a leader like Zulqarnain, inshallah. آية نمبر 83 ويسألونك عن ذي القرنين قل سأتلو عليكم منه ذكرا and they ask you O prophet about ذي القرنين say I will recite to you about him a report إنا مكنا له في الأرض indeed we established him upon the earth and we gave him from everything away that is means until when he reached the setting of the sun that is in the west he found it as if setting in the body of the dark water and he found near it a people we meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said O Dhul Qarnayn, either you punish them or else adopt among them a way of goodness. Meaning Dhul Qarnayn was given the choice. He said, look at the Dhul Qarnayn's answer. He said, as for one who wrongs, we will punish him. Then he will be returned to his Lord and he will punish him with a terrible punishment that is hellfire. But as for who believes and does righteous deeds, he will have righteousness. He will have a reward of the best that is paradise. And we, meaning Dhul Qarnayn, will speak to him from our command with ease. Then he followed away. I want you to highlight this ayah number 89 because he used his resources that were given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to him. ثُمَّ أَتْبَعَ السَّبَبَ Today, people do have resources, a lot of them. There are a lot of rich Muslims out there. Muslim community is super rich. But are they using their resources in the right way or not? That's the question. Yesterday, we were just talking about this one rich person in today's time, and he has so much, he's a conglomerate, and he has so much money. But how come? So far, he's about to reach 75 years age. I know him personally. And my husband and I were talking about him, that he has so much money, but we don't see any, like not a single school he made for the fee sabilillah, not a single hospital he has made for us fee sabilillah. I'm sure he must be doing something good out there. I'm not doubting that. But you know what? When you hear about his all these mansions and all these assets and all these properties he owns, we hardly hear people like that, that they have all these goodness and they're working all these things and providing this for the community. So it is important that we learn the message here that use the resources we have in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Until when he came to the rising of the sun, that is the east, and he found it rising on the people, he found it rising on the people for whom we had not made against it any shield. Thus we had encompassed all that he had knowledge. Then he followed away. After one expedition, did he sat down? I am done. I have done such a great job. Now I am home free. I'm going to sit beside the pool and sip pina colada all day long. Did he say that? No. Why? Because the good person, he does that one good deed and he was ready to do the next one. My question to you, if you are doing one good deed today by learning this Quran, are you ready to go do the next expedition? Then he followed the way until when he reaches a pass between the two mountains, he found besides them a people who could hardly understand any speech. Notice here, he did not make the speech barrier. Some people say, oh, this is not my first language. I cannot speak. Well, you know what? They did not speak at all and they use sign language. They said, O Dhul Qarnayn, indeed, Gog and Magog are great corruptors in the land. So many a sign for you an expenditure that you might make between us and them a barrier. Meaning these people helped, offered their help by giving them the money. You know what Dhul Qarnayn said? Notice here. He said, that is in which my Lord has established me is better than what you offer. Meaning, I don't need your financial help. But assist me with strength, meaning manpower. And this is where we understand, you know, sometimes giving money is one thing, but you and I have to physically offer ourselves to help volunteer ourselves to organizations where they're already working for the work of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will make between you and them a dam. Bring me bars of iron until we had leveled them between the two mountains. Wall, he said, blow with bellows until when he had made its like fire, he said, bring me that I may pour over its molten copper so that is Gog and Magog were unable to pass over, nor were they able to affect it in it any penetration. Dukanan said that this is a mercy from my Lord. Notice here. When he was done completing the task, he did not say, wow, look what I made. You know what he's saying? Notice the word here. قَالَ هَذَا رَحْمَةٌ مِنْ رَبِّي. Highlight this phrase. Write it in your notebook. This is what you and I have to memorize it and say it every time you do something goodness. Just make it a part of your body that every time you do something good, say, قَالَ هَذَا رَحْمَةٌ مِنْ رَبِّي. هَذَا رَحْمَةٌ مِنْ رَبِّي. Can we say it right now? You're learning, right? Since you're feeling good, just say right now. هَذَا رَحْمَةٌ مِنْ رَبِّي. فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعْدُ رَبِّي جَعَلَهُ دَكَّاءً وَكَانَ وَعْدُ رَبِّي حَقًّا. This is mercy from my Lord. But when the promise of my Lord comes, that is approaches, He will make it level. And ever is the promise of my Lord true. Meaning, when we rely everything upon ourselves, we think it's permanent. When we know this, that this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can take it away too, and then we don't feel bad. And we will leave them that day, surging over each other, and that the horn will be blown. And we will assemble them in one assembly, and we will present hell that day to the disbelievers, or display those whose eyes had been within the cover removed from my remembrance, and they were not able to hear. What do we learn in this section? Leadership is also a test. You and I are giving a leadership of our own household. Use it wisely, because if we don't do the tarbiyah of today's our children, then we will be questioned about them. He used his power to spread the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You and I can ask this question: how are we using our time? Using resources for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases them. So the more we use our cars and homes and wealth and health and skills and time for Allah, Allah will give barakah in them. Helping others bring honor. This is why people remember those. Everybody remembers those who make difference in this world. Like, for example, there was a person who recently passed away. He made so many orphanages in Pakistan. Everybody recognized his name. Why? Because he did something. People take his name with honor. So if you and I want to be remembered by other people, and when we are gone from this world, do something in this dunya. Make intention right now. And whatever you do, give credit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when a heart is not busy in remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah fills it with something else. So might as well keep your heart busy with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he was not self-pleaser, meaning he did not say, I did this and I did that. So we can check our questions and answers in this case. Help physically too, not just offer financial help. People say, you know what, I donate money too, so I don't have to physically go there. Besides, I have too many things to take care of. I am working and this and that. Teamwork is a dream work. He said, I need your people. So work together, because solo, you can only do so much. But when you get together, you can move mountains and leave successors behind you. Do something that you can actually train other people who can carry out your job once you leave. And wealth and power are blessings if you use right away, or else they become fitna. Assist those who work for deen. Inshallah. Let's go to the next section. Ayah number 102 to 110. Deeds are wasted. This is scary. And here we learn, then do those who disbelieve think that they can take my servants instead of me as an allies? Indeed, we have prepared hell for the disbelieving as lodging. Say, O Prophet, shall we believe, inform you of the greatest losers as to their deeds? They are those whose effort is lost in worldly life. Highlight this ayah number 104 for your reference, inshallah. Allazina dhalla sa'yuhum fil hayati dunya. They are those whose effort is lost in worldly life while they think they are doing well in work. Meaning, they feel so satisfied. Those are the ones who disbelieve in the verses of their Lord and in their meeting Him. So, their deed have become worthless. What do we learn here? Deeds becomes worthless. And we will not assign to them on the day of resurrection any weight. Meaning, the deeds who do not have any weight, they are worthless no matter how good they are in this dunya. That is their recompense, hell. For that they denied, and because they took my signs and my messengers in ridicule. Indeed, those who have believed and done righteous deeds, they will have the gardens of paradise as a lodging, wherein they abide eternally. They will not desire for It's any transfer, meaning they'll be so happy, they'll never be bored. This word, bored, is for this dunya only. There is no such thing as boring over there. And say, if the sea were ink of writing, ink for writing the words of my Lord, this ayah is actually for the our theme of the this year's shows, oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Know who Allah is. قُلْ لَوْ كَانَ الْبَحْرُ مِدَادَ لِكَلِمَاتِ رَبِّي. If the sea were ink for writing the words of my Lord, the sea would be exhausted before the word of my Lord were exhausted. Think about it. Next time when you go see the ocean, try to think all this ocean that we see, it's ink. And the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being written by that ink, and it will never dry out. And the water will run out, the word will not dry out. And exhausted, even we brought the like of it in continual supplement, meaning if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replace it, replenish it, and it will be gone again. Say, I am only a man like you, to whom has been revealed that your God is one God. Do we believe our God is only one God? Alhamdulillah. Say Alhamdulillah. So whoever would hope for the meeting with his Lord, let him do righteous work and not associate in the worship of his Lord anyone. Beautiful surah has ended just now. Let's do some reflection while we're thinking. Let's listen to the recitation for the next surah, Surah Maryam. And during this recitation listening time, try to reflect on what we learned and make some notes and give yourself some time to understand what is your future goal, inshallah. Let's listen, Surah Al-Maryam.
ذكر رحمة ربك عبده زكريا إذ نادى ربه نداء خفيا قال رب إني وهن العظم مني واشتعل الرأس شيبا ولم أكن بدعائك رب شقيا وإني خفت الموالي من ورائي وكانت امرأتي عاقرا فهب لي من لدنك وليا يرثني ويرث من آل يعقوب واجعله رب رضيا.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. سورة مريم. Surah Maryam is the only surah in the name of a woman, and she was the only pious woman Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the name, and the whole surah is named after her. She was a mother of Isa alayhi salam. And this chapter of Quran is very good dawah chapter for Christians, because this talks about intensively about Isa alayhi salam's mother, Mary, and they all say, we believe in Mary. When you discuss this chapter with your non-Muslim friends, inshallah, it will benefit. In the ayah number 1 to 15, we learn about Zakariya alayhi salam, that he talked to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in such a way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala listened to it and accepted it right away. And what is it? Let's go to the ayahs and we will learn, inshallah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Kaf Ha Ya Ain Sad. These are huruf muqatta'at. And ذكر رحمة ربك عبده زكريا. This is a mention of a mercy of your Lord to his servant Zakariya. Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning his name? You know why? Because Zakariya alayhi salam was devoted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only, meaning he was sincere in his deed. When he called to his Lord, a private call, notice here, إِذْنَا دَرَبَّهُ نِدَاءً خَفِيًّا. Highlight this. Why? Because he called his Lord privately. Nobody was watching him. The action item for us, when we call Allah, call it in private. Today we live in a culture, everybody is making dua even on social media. People pass on dua and they write Ameen. people think it is their job, their duty, when there's some kind of a news coming in or some kind of a dua coming in the WhatsApp groups in the masajid and a local group, they type Ameen. You don't have to type Ameen. If you are saying the dua, it's enough. Why you are flooding somebody else's texting system by saying Ameen so many times? What do you think your intention is? That the person know it, or you truly means Ameen? Because if you truly means Ameen, then you say it in your heart. You don't have to type. Similarly, when people post a news of somebody's death, they think it's their mandatory for them to type Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi raji'un. You can say it. You can make dua for the deceased. Do you have to type it too? Imagine if the group has 200 people and everybody types it, and the group is so flooded and it takes away the memory. And why? Why you make the life of the people hard? It is out of etiquettes. So make dua. If you are sincere to that person whom you hear the news about their death, say the dua in your heart. Make a dua for them, and you don't have to share it. And if you do want to let the person sincerely talk to that person whom the news is for, message them privately. So what we learn here is make dua in private. Qala Rabbi inni. He said, my Lord, indeed my bones have weakened. Notice here, the etiquette of making dua. First, he's admitting that he is weak and he is old, and whatever he's asking, it seems impossible. And my head has filled with white, meaning he's very old. And never have I have been in my supplication to you, my Lord, unhappy, meaning disappointed. Meaning he's so sure that my Lord, listen, he's saying that, yes, I've never been felt that you're not going to accept my du'as. Question. Highlight this part. Rabbi Shaqiyya. Do we feel that too? When we make du'a, do we feel that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is listening and he has never refused me? Because this is the conviction, this level of conviction we need to have dua to be accepted. So next time when you make dua, you have to be 100% sure that my dua is accepted, period. Yes, the form of acceptance can be different, but it is accepted, period. وَإِنِّي قَفَّتْ مَوَالِي, and indeed I fear the successors after me, and my wife has been barren, so give me from yourself an heir. What kind of waris he was asking for? To transfer the wealth, inheritance? No, to transfer the heritage of knowledge. Because he was a prophet, he wanted a child so he can transfer this heritage to him. And you know what we say? We are leaving the inheritance of this house and that asset and that building. If you have all those things, alhamdulillah, giving the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now. Because what's the point of leaving all these things that can become fitna after you leave? So give everything away and leave the knowledge. This is why it's so important to seek knowledge yourself so you can give the wirsa of knowledge, meaning the heritage of knowledge, to them. Who will inherit me and inherit from the family of the Yaqub and make him my Lord pleasing to you? Notice here, he's asking for a righteous child. So this is what we need to do. Let's make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept these duas in our favor too. He was old. O Zakaria, indeed we gave you good tidings of a boy whose name will be Yahya. We have not assigned to any man before this name. He said, my Lord, how will I have a boy when my wife has been barren and I have reached extreme old age? Why do you say that? Because this is a human nature. Even though he has a full conviction, he's not asking, how are you going to do it, right? No, he's not asking that whether you can do it or not. He's asking what the process will be, right? And angel said, thus it will be. Your Lord says, it is easy for me. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make impossible happen. Write down this gem in your notes. Write down the word impossible and then separate im and then make some space and then write possible and put a cross on im. And now only possible is remain. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make everything possible for you and I. And Zakaria said, my Lord, make for me a sign. He said, your sign is that you will not speak of the people to the people for 3 nights being sound. And What do we do upon receiving the news? We actually go, call, let everybody know, and we forget to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he came out to his people from the prayer chamber and signaled to them to exalt Allah in the morning and the afternoon. What we learn from for us is that when we are given some news, some blessing, we need to do dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be grateful to him, and be really thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for everything he gives. Allah said, O Yahya, take the scripture, that is, adhere to it with determination, and we gave him judgment while yet a boy. Let's make this dua for ourselves too, and our kids can give this judgment too. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give us too. And affection from us and purity, and he was fearing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do we want all these qualities in our children? Let's make dua right now. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa hanana min ladunka wa zakatan wa kana taqiyya. All these, highlight this ayah number 13 for ourselves, because this is what we need to make dua for our children. And dutiful to parents, and so beautiful, right? And dutiful to parents, and he was not a disobedient tyrant. May Allah accept all these duas in our favor too. And peace be upon him the day he was born, and the day he dies, and the day he is raised alive. Can we memorize this part of the ayah? Because don't we want our kids to be like that? If we do, then these are very small few ayahs, and then we can really ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so what do we learn in this section? So many lessons. Talk to Allah with conviction, and if it comes from the heart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts it, it goes right away up, right? And blessing stays if you're grateful. Develop strong connection between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, in the next section, ayah number 16 to 40, we learn about the trials of Maryam alayhi salam. And mention, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the book, the story of Mary, when she withdrew from her family to a place towards the east. And she took in seclusion from them a screen. Then we sent to her our angel, that is Angel Jibreel, and he represented himself to her as a well-proportioned man. Notice, Maryam alayhi salam was a pious woman. She was always protected, and she never had any chatting with any opposite gender in the name of reform, in the name of formal talking system. Today we have boys and girls, they talk, and in the name of even sometimes in goodness too. You know, when they may be working and volunteering, boys and girls, even that situation, we need to keep distance. So when she saw this man, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the angel in the form of a man, she was scared. She didn't want it. She didn't say, oh wow, I was getting bored. You know, all this religion I was learning all the time. Now I have some time to chat with this boy, this man who came in. She didn't say that. What do we learn here? Strong character is very important, so that when the trials like this come, if you are a girl and a boy comes and offer you, you know that this is not right. If you're a boy and if the girl comes around you, you know your limits. And this is what we need to teach our children as well, because they are unaware of it. They go to a school system, society, where they are sitting together and the haya is taken away from them. They don't feel bad sitting right next to each other. They don't even feel bad shaking hands. They find it very normal. She said, indeed, I seek refuge in the most merciful from you, so leave me. If you should be fearing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look, she is saying, be fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and she is saying, leave me alone. She did not take this opportunity to chat with this guy. He said, I am only the messenger of your Lord to give you news of a pure boy, that is son. She said, how can I have a boy while no man has touched me and I have not been unchaste? Meaning, look, notice here. She said, no man has touched me. It's not like, yes, I had some business with them and I was working with them and I was in a classroom with them. No, she was never around any man. And she said, how can I have a boy? He said, thus it will be. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does things. Whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, he makes it happen. Your Lord says, it is easy for me. Question, do we believe that everything is easy on Allah? If we believe that, then we should not be despair of his mercy. And we will make him a sign, the people, and a mercy from us. And it is a matter already decreed, meaning it's going to happen. So she conceived him, and she withdrew with him to a remote place. Why? Because she didn't want people to talk about and point fingers at her. And this was a plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the pain of the childbirth drove her to the trunk of a palm tree. She said, "Oh, I wish I had died before this and was in oblivion forgotten." Meaning she was going through this pain of delivery so much. The question comes in mind, why do you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this delivery pain so hard? Don't you think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have made the delivery easy too? You know why? Because this pain, when a woman goes through the pain, endurance of the pain of such a strong pain of delivery, you know, they say the pain of the delivery is so strong that it's as if it's crushing so many bones all at once. The pain you would feel, that's the pain a woman feels in a during delivery time. So that the woman, a mother, is ready to take care of the child. Because when things come easy on our way, when things come for free, we don't take advantage of it. We think, it's going on. That's okay. Don't worry about it. When you pay for it, when you suffer through it, that's when you value the things, right? So this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's always hikmah for everything. But he called her from below her, "Do not grieve. Your Lord has provided beneath you a stream, and shake towards you the trunk of the palm tree. It will drop upon you ripe, fresh dates." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided personalized accommodation for her. Even though she was alone, she had no resources. But you know what? She was carrying something, a hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made everything possible. Lesson for us. When we actually do something for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes care of our affair. He is the one who provides food. He is the one who provides shelter. And he is the one who is going to take care of your kids. If you have everything for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if your intention is for Allah. So eat and drink and be content. And you know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave her to eat? What? He palm tree, meaning dates. And this is very important to understand, that dates are such nutritious stuff. They don't even raise your sugar, even though they're sweet, and they are very fulfilling and nutritious. So pregnant women should eat that. You know what? Today our kids, if you give them chocolate or dates, they prefer chocolate. You know why? Because we have not developed the love of dates for them. So dates is something you should feed your child from very young age also. So eat and drink and be contented. And if you see from among humanity anyone, say indeed, I have vowed to the most merciful abstention. Why? So I will not speak today of any man. What do we learn from this? When there's something that you cannot really justify, don't. Allah will take care of you. Sometimes people try to justify their, "I didn't do it. I swear I didn't do it." If you didn't do it, then you should be rest assured, content. Allah will take care of you. In this case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did a miracle. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a baby walk. Baby talk. What does that mean? That means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can take care of our affairs. If we don't do everything for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if people still accuse you and I, don't worry about it. Then she brought him to her people carrying him. They said, "Oh Maryam, you have certainly done a thing unprecedented. O sister, that is descendant of the Harun, your father was not a man of evil, nor was your mother unchaste. Why did you do such a big thing?" So she pointed to him. Notice here, she did not answer. They said, "How can we speak to one who is in a cradle as a child?" Jesus said, "Isa alayhi salam, this is the baby who is speaking in a cradle. Indeed, I am that servant of Allah." Notice here, what did he say? Inni Abdullah. Did he say that I am a son of Allah? He didn't. He said, "He has given me the scripture and made me a prophet, and he has made me blessed wherever I am, and has enjoined upon me prayer and zakah as long as I remain alive." You will notice in this surah, the prayer and zakah, the salah and zakah, two things are mentioned many times. This shows the importance. You know, this salah that we think that it is in our sharia only, salah was always there in a different form maybe, and zakah was always there. "And made me dutiful to my mother, and he has not made me a wretched tyrant. And peace is on me the day I was born and the day I will die, and the day I am raised alive, this is a proof that he will be coming back to this dunya. That is Isa, the son of Mary, the word of the truth about which they are in dispute. It is not befitting for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take a son. Exalted is he. Say, Subhanahu. Say it right now, Subhanahu. Exalted is he. When he decrees an affair, he only says it to be. Kun fayakun, be, and it is. Isa said, and indeed Allah is my Lord and your Lord, so worship him. That is straight path. Then the faction of the deferred concerning Jesus from among them, so woe to those who disbelieve from the scene of the tremendous day. How clearly they will hear and see the day they come to us, but the wrongdoers today are in clear error. And warn them, O Prophet, of the day of regret. Notice here, I want you to highlight in ayah number 39, that one of the day of the Yawm al-Hashr, meaning the day of judgment, is Yawm al-Hasra, meaning the day of regrets. Let's make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, save us from the regrets of the day. Now, you can say, we're a believer. Why are we going to be regretting? You know why? We will be regretting that how come we didn't do any more deeds? How come we didn't do more Quran? How come we didn't memorize more ayahs? How come we didn't refuse all the deeds and offers that came on my way and I refused them? When the matter will be concluded, and yet they are in state of heedlessness, and they do not believe. Indeed, it is we who will inherit the earth, and whoever is on it, and to us they will be returned and mentioned. So where we learn from this paragraph is that if you accept the trials, Allah's help will come. Make intention right now. Oh Allah, whatever you send in my way, I will accept it. Eat dates during delivery time. Accusations will be taken care of by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if you are upon truth. Isa alayhi salam himself said he was a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the day of and the day of judgment is called Yawm al-Hasra. May Allah save us from this. Ayah number 41 to 50. In the next paragraph, we learn Ibrahim alayhi salam, a young boy being tested. Ayah number 41. Waskur fil kitabi Ibrahim, and mention in the book the story of Ibrahim. Indeed, he was a man of the truth and a prophet. Mention when he said to his father, O my father, why do you worship that which does not hear and does not see and will not benefit you at all? O my father, indeed, there has come to me of knowledge that which has not come to you. So follow me, I will guide you to an even path. What do we learn here? Sometimes kids come to Islam more than parents, and that's when parents get upset. You know, many stories are out there. When kids are more smarter, parents don't like it. They shut them up. No, you know, sometimes it's possible that the kids have more knowledge, and especially, you know, sometimes when the girls come and they say, I want to do hijab, mom, and if mom doesn't do it and she discourages them, no, don't do it. You're going to look ugly, you're going to look older, and people are not going to marry you. So sometimes we have to realize what are we saying. If our child is more pious than us, let him be. Don't feel bad. Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided them. Maybe they will be the guidance for you. Oh my father, and look the way he's talking to his father, with so much respect. Oh my father, ya abati, oh my father, do not worship, meaning that we obey shaitan. Indeed, shaitan has ever been the most merciful disobedient. Oh my father, indeed, I fear that they will touch you, a punishment from the most merciful. So you would be to shaitan a companion in hellfire. His father said, have you no desire for my gods, O Ibrahim? If you do not desist, I will surely stone you. So avoid me a prolonged time. This is the attitude of the father. Son is lovingly telling him to come to Islam, and father is being so upset. And here we can check our lives also. Do we get upset when our kids know something more than us? Do we feel insulted? Ibrahim said, peace, that is safety will be upon you. Look at the attitude of a son. so beautifully. Even the father is disagreeing tremendously and he is still having a patience. And I will ask forgiveness for you of my Lord. Indeed, he is ever gracious to me. Highlight this thing. This is such a beautiful thing. Innahu kana bihafiyya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was gracious to Ibrahim alayhi salam because of his iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be gracious to you and I if we work on our iman. And ayah number 48. And I will leave you and those who invoke other than Allah and will invoke my Lord. I expect that I will not be in invocation to my Lord unhappy and disappointed. Notice here. Allah akuna bidu'ai rabbi shaqiyya. Same thing. He has complete conviction in his du'as. So we can learn from this ayah surah that we can have the complete conviction when we make du'a. So when he had left them and those they worship other than Allah, we gave him Ishaq and Yaqub, and each of them we made a prophet. And we gave them of our mercy, and we made for them a mention, that is a reputation of high honor. Sidqin aliyah, this is the honor. And the lesson from this paragraph we learn is that be respectful to your parents, even if you disagree with them. Make dua to Allah, and first sacrifice in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then expect help of Allah comes. And people today, they just make dua, not doing anything, and they think that the help is going to come. Help is not going to come out of the blue, because this is not the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only, and honor and disgrace both are in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody can honor you and nobody can give you disgrace if Allah doesn't will. In the next paragraph, ayah number 51 to 82, we learn that weightless deeds are worthless deeds. So, in ayah number 51, وَاسْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ مُوسَىٰ إِنَّهُ كَانَ مُخْلَصًا وَكَانَ رَسُولًا نَبِيًّا. And mention in the book, Musa, indeed, he was chosen. Question, do you and I want to be chosen one? If you do, then make dua right now that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala choose me for your deen. He was chosen and he was a messenger and a prophet. And we called him from the side of the mount and his right and brought him near, confiding to him. This is the moment that Musa alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked to him. And we gave him out of our mercy his brother Harun as a prophet. And mention in the book Ismail, indeed, he was a true prophet to his promise, and he was a messenger and a prophet, and he used to enjoin on his people prayer. Notice this ayah number 55. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَانَ يَأْمُرُ أَهْلُهُ أَهْلُهُ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ. Meaning, he used to call his people, his family, to salah and zakah. Question, do we want to call our family for salah and zakah? You know, sometimes mother wake up their child for the school, but they say, you know what, he let him sleep, today's a weekend, and they forget that they're the one who's teaching them that salah is not that important. 5 days of school days are important to wake up, and weekend is for sleeping. Salah, what salah? There's a break from salah in a weekend. So it is the mother who gives this mindset to the child. And mentioned in the book, it reads, indeed, he was a man of the truth and a prophet, and we raised him a high station. Those were the ones upon Allah bestowed favor from among the prophets of the descendants of the Adam, and those we carried in the ship with Nuh, and of the descendants of the Ibrahim and Israel, meaning Yaqub alayhi salam, and of those whom we guided and chose. When the verses of the Most Merciful were recited to them, they fell in prostration and weeping. Notice here, the word Rahman comes in so many times in these ayahs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, people say, if you do a quiz, when the Rahman word comes most in the Quran, most of the people say in Surah Rahman. No, the answer is wrong. And you can actually talk this fact to your family, discuss this fact with your family today, that the word Rahman comes in Surah Rahman more or Surah Maryam. It comes in Surah Maryam. But but there came after them successors, that is latter generations, who neglected prayer and pursued desire. May Allah save us this, from this. Higher in ayah number 59, because this is what happens when a parent, when the mother and father themselves don't pray that much, and then what happens? The latter generations who neglect their prayer and pursue desires. What we learn here is that when people neglect their prayer and they don't make the prayer their priority, then guess what happens? desires takes over, and the prayer becomes least of the worry of the people. Today we see this very common. People don't pay attention to their prayer. It is a secondary thing in their life, and they're pursuing their desires. This is why they say, at workplace, there's no place to pray, so I just skip, and I come home, and I make up all my daily prayer, which I miss. You know what it tells you? It tells you that the priority in your life is your work, not the prayer. And this is exactly what your kids will learn from you. So, accept those who repent. If something happened in the past, it's okay. Just repent and move on. Believe and do righteous deed, for those will enter the paradise and will not be wronged at all. Therein are the gardens of perpetual residence, which the most merciful, notice here, Ar-Rahman again, has promised his servants in the unseen. Indeed, this promise has ever been imminent. They will not hear therein any ill speech, only greetings of peace, and they will have their provision therein morning and afternoon. No taunting going on, no gossiping going on in Jannah. That is paradise, and this is what we should long for, which we gave in as inheritance to those of our servants who are fearing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do we learn from this ayah 63? That the people of taqwa are the inheritors of Jannah. So let's develop taqwa and make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us taqwa. And the dua of, easy dua of taqwa is, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-huda wa-tuqa wal-afafa wal-ghina. Four words. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-huda wa-tuqa wal-afafa wal-ghina. And Jibreel said, and we angels descend not except by the order of your Lord. To him belongs that before us and that behind us and what is in between, and never is your Lord forgetful. Lord of the heavens and the earth and whatever is in between them, so worship him and have patience for his worship. Do you know of any similarity to him? And man, that is, a disbeliever says, when I have died, I am going to be brought forth to life. And does man not remember that we created him before, while he was nothing? So, by your Lord, we will surely gather them, and the devils, then we will bring them to the present around hell upon their knees. Then we will surely extract from every sect that those of them who were worse against the most merciful in insolence. And that surely it is we who are most knowing of those who most worthy of burning therein. And there is none of you except he will come to it. This is upon your Lord inevitably decreed. Then we will save those who fear Allah. Notice here, taqwa, taqwa, taqwa. Taqwa is the thing that can save us from all these horrible endings that we're learning, and leave the wrongdoers within it on their knees. And when our verses are recited to them as clear evidence, those who disbelieve say to those who believe, which of our two parties is best in position and best in association, and how many a generation have destroyed before them who were better in position and outward appearance. Say, whoever is in error, let the most merciful extend for him an extension in the will and time until when they see that which they were promised, either punishment in this world or the hour of resurrection, they will come to know who is worse in position and weaker in soldiers. In this dunya, Muslims may be weaker, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying over there in the akhirah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell them who is the one who has the last laugh, who is the one who's successful, and who's going to be crying and weeping all their life in Jahannam. May Allah save us all from that. And وَيَزِيدُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ اهْتَدُوا هُدًى وَالْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتُ خَيْرٌ إِنَّ رَبِّكَ ثَوَابًا وَخَيْرٌ مَرَدًا. Highlight this ayah, ayah number 76. You know why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and Allah increased those who were guided. Are you feeling proud? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are you feeling grateful? You know why? Because you and I have iman. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah increases those who were guided in guidance, and the enduring good deeds are better to your Lord. for reward and better for recompense. Meaning, now that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us Iman, Allah ta'ala can increase our Iman if we want it. So, my question, do we want our Iman to increase? Then ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right now. And then we have seen He who disbelieved in our verses and said, I will surely be given wealth and children in the next life. Meaning, when people have too many goodnesses in this dunya, they think they deserve it and they will get it in the next world too. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, that's not the case. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you in this dunya a lot of wealth and health and children, that doesn't mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy with you. And this is the misconception that keeps people away from coming to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Has he looked into the unseen, or has he taken from the most merciful a promise? No, we will record what he says and extended that is increased for him from the punishment extensively. And we will inherit him in what he mentions, and he will come to us alone. Notice, you will be all alone. Nobody will be with you. No father, no mother, no children, no husband, no spouse, no family, no siblings, no friends that people spend times and hours cooking and entertaining them. And they have taken besides Allah falsity that they would be for them a source of honor. And no, those gods will deny their worship of them and will be against them opponents on the Day of Judgment. What did we learn here? Advise your family for salah and good deeds. Even if dua is not accepted, keep on asking. Be sincere in your deeds or else they will be worthless. Do not show up, and salah cannot be overlooked. It is the priority of life. Ayah number 83 to 98. Jannah requires efforts. So, أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّ أَرْسَلْنَا شَيَاطِينَ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ تَوَزَّهُمْ أَزْنَا. Do you not see that we have sent the devils upon the disbelievers, inciting them to evil with constant incitement? So be not impatient over them. We only count out that is allowed to them a limited number. On the day, we will gather the righteous to the most merciful as delegation and will drive the criminals to hell in thirst. None will have power of intercession except he who had taken from the most merciful a covenant. And they say, the most merciful has taken for himself a son. You have done an atrocious thing. People, when they are happy to say that Jesus is the Son of God, they don't even feel anything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying they are in an extreme dissension, meaning they will find out such a big shirk. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all the sins except for shirk. Shirk is something that is unforgivable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like any partners associated with him. And how can people be so naive considering that Isa alayhi salam is the Son of God? And you know, the Christianity in the beginning, they were not like that. When Islam came, when Isa alayhi salam came, did he brought Christianity? No. What did he bring then? He brought Islam. Then why Christians are Christians then? You know why? Have you ever wondered why Christianity turned into like this the way we see now? Because over time, when people leave the teachings of the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, exaggerations in deen happens. And over time, people bring changes slowly but surely in their deen, and the deen becomes something else. Today we see Muslim Ummah also indulging in the same things. There are so many additions in the name of innovation, good innovation, and they say, so what's wrong with that? Why can't we do that? Over time, what happens? Things change. And this is why some people argue Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is Noor, is light, and he was not mortal, and he did not pass away from this world. So what do we learn here? It's extremely important to learn knowledge, retain knowledge, live by knowledge, and keep on transferring it to another generation, or else the generations over time lose the deen. The heaven almost rupture their form, and the earth splits open, and the mountains collapse in devastation. This ayah tells us the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the accusation they do upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Isa being son, it is so atrocious that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would rupture this heaven out there. The sky that we see, it should be out of the anger, it will collapse, the world should end. This is how big and severe this sin is to associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially calling any sons and daughters in His name. May Allah truly make us understand what is the true religion means and what should we follow. People say that, you know, Christianity is such a good religion. It's easy religion. They're good people. They do all the good stuff. And because of them, their countries are so successful and nothing wrong with their faith and this and that. Well, guess what? No matter how good they do, if the iman is not there, the deeds will be not accepted. They can have the good time in this world and that's it. It will end right there. So, that they attribute to the most merciful Al-Sun. And it is not appropriate for the most merciful that he should take a son. There is no one in the heavens and earth, but he comes to the most merciful as a servant, and he has enumerated them and counted them a full counting. And all of them are coming to him on a day of resurrection alone. Indeed, those who have believed and have done righteous deeds, the most merciful will appoint for them affection. So, what do we learn here? Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who put with the affection between each other. And who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put affection? Those who have believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and done the righteous deeds, the most merciful will appoint for them affection. So, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have only made this Quran easy in your tongue. What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying? Quran is easy on the tongue of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you know why is it easy on tongue and whose tongue it is easy on? The one who wants to believe in it. And in your tongue, that is the Arabic language, that you may give good tidings thereby to the righteous and the warned thereby a hostile people. And how many have we destroyed before them of generations? Do you perceive of them anyone or learn from them a sound? So, here the surah ends, and there are so many lessons from this surah. From this paragraph, we learn that the day of judgment is not going to be easy. So we should be preparing for it. You know, in this dunya, we prepare for everything. Even when the guests are coming over, we're preparing for them. And we forget the biggest preparation that we need to do. So make dua, and also when you're giving dawah, Allah help them. Accept it. Your job is to just convey the message only, and Allah's affection is for those who do the righteous deeds. And Quran is a good tidings. And self-analysis here for us is that, do I feel that Quran is a good tiding for me or not? Now, Surah Taha, such a beautiful surah. Let's listen to the recitation of the first few ayahs, and then we'll go into this Surah Taha. In Surah Taha is the surah where we will learn about the dua, Rabbi Zidni Ilma, and the dua of Musa alayhi salam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open up my chest. Let's listen to the recitation.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم طه ما أنزلنا عليك القرآن لتشقى إلا تذكرة لمن يخشى تنزيلا ممن خلق الأرض والسماوات العلى الرحمن على العرش استوى له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وما بينهما وما تحت الثرى
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين سورة طه Surah Taha is a beautiful surah, and it has very, very short ayahs, even though there are too many ayahs, but they're very short, small ayahs, and this is fun to recite too. So it's you'll enjoy it when you recite this surah, inshallah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Taha, we have not sent down to you the Quran that you be distressed. Ayah number 1224, we learn that the one who listens carefully, he is the one who is chosen. Listening carefully is the key. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses on the basis of whoever wants to take it in. The people who just listen for the sake of listening, they don't get it. And in this surah, we will learn the story about the conversion of, the story is not there, but the ayahs are there that, you know who? Umar Farooq. He became Muslim because Surah Taha was being recited and he went to his sister's house with an open sword and he was ready to kill Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. On a way when he was going to kill Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and somebody told him, where are you going? He said, I'm going to kill Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he said, why don't you just check your family first because you have to take care of your family first. He heard that he found out that his sister and his brother-in-law accepted Islam and he was furious to learn that and he changed his course and he went to his sister's door. At the time when he arrived there, his sister and her husband, they were learning Quran with a person called Khabbab and he was teaching ayahs of Surah Taha to them. And when he knocked the door, Khabbab was scared and he hid himself behind the door or somewhere. And when Omar came and the husband and the sister, when they saw him and he has a sword which was open and they said, oh, and you know what? The Quran was written on a parchment paper or some paper, and they hid this paper with a sheet of paper, sheet of cloth, the sister. So Umar said, I heard some mumbling. What was going on? What you were doing? So the sister said, and the brother said, you know what? If your iman, your truth is far from the truth, then what would you do? Meaning the Imam gave him such courage that he spoke against Umar and he told him that your Imam is not the right one. So Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, what are you saying? So he beat him up so hardly because remember, Umar radiallahu anhu was a furious enemy of Islam and he was big in stature and he was very powerful and strong man and he was very tall too. So he beat his brother-in-laws so much. So when the sister intervened, what happened? He got so mad and he hit his sister so hard on her face that his face started bleeding. That's when Umar felt something in his heart. He said, show me what you were reciting. The sister was also very courageous. She said the same thing on which her husband said, that your religion is not the truth one and the truth is far away from your religion. He said, okay, show me what you're reciting. Look at the courage of the sister. She said, no, you are unclean. Go clean yourself first. I will not let you touch the Quran. You know where this confidence came in the sister of Umar? This is the Iman. This is the Quran. When somebody believes Quran from the bottom of their heart, that's how confident they become. Umar radiallahu anhu, he actually took a shower and then she showed him. And this was the Surah Taha he was listening. We are about to learn this surah. Let's see if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open up our hearts. Let's make the dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make the Surah Taha for the expansion of my heart. Bismillah. So we have not sent down to you the Quran that is that you be distressed, meaning this Quran is not to make you and I the life difficult, right? People say coming to Quran is going to make my life difficult. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, no, this Quran is not there to make your life difficult and not to make you distressed, but only as a reminder for those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What we learn from this is when we fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this Quran, instead of becoming a distress, it becomes an enlightenment. It becomes a fun. It becomes a lifestyle. It becomes happy note for people. You know, when you receive some kind of a happy note for somebody, it makes you feel good, right? Like a love letter, like a good text and something. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying the people who have a fear of Allah in their heart, only for them this Quran is something really good. Or else this becomes very heavy and this is why you see people say, oh, this is boring. And they start sleeping when the Quran is recited. So let's make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open up our heart for this Quran. A revelation from He who created the earth and the highest heavens, the most merciful, who is above the throne established. To Him belongs what is in the heavens and what is on the earth and what is between them and what is under the soil. And if he speak aloud, then indeed he knows the secret and what is even more hidden. Allah, there is no deity except him. Say it. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa. Say it one more time in your heart. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa lahul asma'ul husna. To him belong the best of the names. And has the story of the Musa reached you? When he saw a fire and said to his family, stay here. Indeed, I have perceived a fire. Perhaps I can bring you to a torch or find the fire some guidance. And when he came to it, he was called, O Musa, indeed I am your Lord. Can you imagine? Imagine that moment when Musa actually heard these voices and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked to him directly. And this was the honor given to him, Musa alayhi salam. This is why he was called Kalimullah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only talked to him. Inni ana rabbuka, inni ana rabbuka, inni ana rabbuka. And indeed, you are in the blessed valley of Tawa, and I have chosen you. Let's make dua for ourselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala choose us for the work of deen. So listen to what is revealed, and for that we're going to have to learn Quran. Indeed, I am Allah. Inni anallahu la ilaha illa ana fa'abuduni wa aqim as-salat al-zikra. Notice here, Salah is mentioned here again. Indeed, I am Allah. There is no deity except me. So worship me and establish prayer for my remembrance. This is why we need to pray, to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to establish connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, the hour is coming. I almost concealed it so that every soul may be recompensed according to that for which it strives. Imagine if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have told you the date of your death. How would you feel? Just like we don't know the date of our birth, it is a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't tell us the date of death, because you would be so scared. 90 days left, 16 days left, 15 days left, 20 days left, and you would count down and you would not do anything. So, do not let one avert from you it, and who does not believe in it and follow his desire, for who then would perish? And what is that in your right hand, Musa? O Musa, he said, it is my staff. I lean upon it and I bring down leaves for my sheep, and I have therein other uses. Allah said, throw it down, O Musa. What do we learn here? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands you something, do it. This is what Musa alayhi salam did right away. So he threw it down, and thereupon it was snake moving swiftly. Allah said, seize it and fear not. When he did obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he threw it. It came into a snake, and now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, hold it. And this is what we learn here. When Allah says, leave it, leave it. When Allah says, hold on to it, hold on to it. And we will return it to its former condition, even though it is scary to come to Quran in the beginning. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you hold it, it will be the best thing that can happen to you and I. And draw in your hand to your side, it will come out white without disease, another sign that we may show you some of our greater signs. Go to Pharaoh. Indeed, he was transgressed, that is tyrannized. What do we learn in this paragraph? The purpose of this Quran is not to distress us. It is a rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Taqwa makes Quran easy. Call Allah with his beautiful names. Make dua, Allah choose you for him. Allah chose Musa alayhi salam. Obey Allah, not the desires. Develop connection through salah. Let go when Allah says, hold on when Allah says. Allah protects the deen, the one who works for Allah's deen. In the next paragraph, we learn ayah number 25 to 54. Tasks became easy. How do we how does it happen? This is the dua that we always say it, and you probably know it too, but this is today's dua too, so it would be very beneficial for you and I if you can remember and memorize these du'as. What is the dua? Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. Musa said, My Lord, expand. That is, relax for me my breast with assurance. Why did he ask this song? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him a very heavy task. Imagine if you and I are told, go and meet the president of this country and give them dawah. How would you feel? You wouldn't feel that it is impossible. How can I do that? I'm just a person sitting at home. I'm just a mom and I can't do that. Imagine Musa alayhi salam was all alone. Nobody was there and his brother was only with him. And they were told, without any army backing, without any name, without any country backup, without any status, they were told to go to the face of the tyrant. And that was Fir'aun. Imagine that. Don't you think he would be scared? And he said, you know what, this is such a big task. I cannot do it alone. This is why you and I need to make dua in every step of our life. We are alone. We cannot do anything. So this is why you say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, open up my breast. Open up my chest. Expand it for me. So make it easy, my task. Do we want our task to be easy on us? We can say this dua every time. Whenever you feel like that you have a big task coming up, you have a big job coming up, or whatever it is, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbi shrah li sadri. Wa yassir li amri. Make it easy for me. And Allah can make it easy for you. And ease for me my task and untie the knot from my tongue. Why? So whatever you say, people have understanding of it. Because you know why? People, whenever you and I say something, there's always two meanings you can take out. Somebody who has a negative mindset, they'll take the negative out of it and they'll ignore the positive altogether. So this is why you and I need to make this dua. Then you say that they may understand my speech and appoint for me a minister, meaning assistant for my family. This is why we need to ask. You know, in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you and I cannot do alone. We have to take our family with us. This is why you need to make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bring my spouse on the same page as I am. Bring my children on the same page as I am. And you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make them my helper, my assistant. And appoint for me a minister that is assistant for my family, Harun, my brother. And then increase through him my strength. This is what happens. Imagine if you were trying to struggle on the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. You're the one who wants to pray and you say, you know, you're going on a vacation on a car ride. And your husband is saying, no, I'm not going to stop by for Maghrib prayer. And you said, you know what, I want to pray. And there's an argument going on. This is why it is important that we take our family with us. And this is how you start making dua. From now on, every single day, make dua for your family to come along with you. If you find yourself pious enough to come to Quran and your family is in a different mode, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make them towards you and increase through them my strength. Imagine if you're alone and if you're with your family. Obviously, you're going to feel more strength when they're with you, right? So this is what you're asking in this dua. And let him share my task. Meaning, let them do the task too. Let them be with you too. That we may exalt you much. Not because you want to feel good. Yeah, we are all pious. No. So we can be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember you much. And this is the end goal. Meaning, when you are given a strength to do something, use it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to feel good about. Indeed, you are of us ever seeing. Allah said, you have been granted your request, O Musa. Question. Can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant our request? Sure he can. We just have conviction that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never, never, ever waste any dua. Never. And we had certainly conferred favor upon you another time when we inspired to your mother what we inspired. Musa alayhi salam was tested when he was a baby and his mother was told to put the baby in a river. So Allah's mother saying, Iz awhayna ila ummika ma yuha, meaning sometimes mothers are tested by their children. And this is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, cast him into the chest and cast it into the river. And the river will throw it onto the bank and there will take him an enemy to me, an enemy to him. And I bestowed upon you your love from me, that you would be brought up under my eye, that is observation and care. We think we are the one who's going to take care of our kids. If we don't do it, who's going to do it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, if you give up your child, to devote your child for Allah. Allah will protect him. Allah will take care of him. Allah will provide him. If this is the same thing happened in the case of Maryam alayhi salam, when she was devoted, Allah took care of him. Allah provided the stuff out of the blue, out of the seasoned fruit she was receiving. Why? Because Allah took care of him. Today, mothers are happy to send their children for higher education to any elite schools, any name brand schools far away. But when it comes to sending them to Medina, to Medina University or some other place where they can be a good, pious scholar, they have a hard time believing. They say, no, the life is going to be wasted. Musa alayhi salam's mother, let the baby go. And it was a baby, very small. Can you and I and a mother, as a mother, think about it? Can we let our children go like that? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested the mother and she fulfilled the test. And she did let the baby in the river. And we favored you when your sister went and said, shall I direct you to someone who shall be responsible for him? So we restored you to your mother. No, look, once she let go, the baby was given back to her. And this is a plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once we make up our mind to devote our children to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them back. And they will be more pious and more serving to you rather than when you only teach them this dunya. Because then people... Today, especially, we see in a generation when kids are really confronting their parents. They are yelling at their parents. They raise their voice and they don't even feel bad. They have no manners to talk to their parents. You know why? Because parents are giving them dunya only. Parents are not giving them deen. And they say, you know what? I wish I can send them to this school and that. Schools don't do anything. It is you as a mother. It is a parent who raised a child. So, never assume that you, by sending your child somewhere else, they'll get it. It is you and I, our responsibility. And when we have this intention, Allah becomes their guardian. So we restored you to your mother, and she might be content and not grieve. And you killed someone, but we saved you from retaliation and tried you with a severe trial. Musa alayhi salam was tried as a baby, and he was tried when he was a teenager, and he was tried when he was an older man, and then he was tried when he was about his 40s or something, when he was sent to in front of the Fir'aun, meaning his life was filled with trials. And you remained some years among the people of the Madian. Then you came here at a decreed time, O Musa. And I produce you for myself. Highlight this ayah, ayah number 41. Wastanatuka linafsi. Wastanatuka linafsi. Meaning, I produce you for myself. Let's make dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, produce my children for yourself. Go, you and your brother, with my signs, and do not slacken in my remembrance, meaning, don't forget that what you're giving the task, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who's going to make it happen. So remember Allah throughout the journey. Go, both of you, to Pharaoh. Indeed, he has transgressed. And speak to him with gentle speech. Notice, in ayah number 43, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, he has transgressed, means he is a tyrant. In ayah number 44, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, speak to him gently. Layyina. What does that mean? If we think that you talk to the tyrant, you have to be tough too. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, no, when you talk to tyrant, you have to be gentle. In our daily life, we can learn that no matter how tough people are with you, what do you have to do? Be gentle. Only then you can win their hearts. When you are rude and tough in return, they're going to turn away. This is why Prophet ﷺ himself was so soft and gentle to his people. This is why people used to stay with him. This is why even disbelievers used to believe in him. Even though they didn't accept Islam, they still would love him. You know why? Because he was layyina. He was soft and gentle. So here we learn a very special rule, and that is, even when somebody's rude, tough, yelling and calling you names and whatever they're doing, you have to hold your cool. You have to show your cool, and you cannot raise your voice. That perhaps he may be reminded of or fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they said, our Lord, indeed, we are afraid that he will hasten punishment against us or that he will transgress. Allah said, fear not. Indeed, I am with you both. I hear and I see. Highlight design number 46. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be with those who work for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who take Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deen, and who defend Allah's deen, and who protects Allah's deen, and who speak up for Allah's deen. Allah becomes their ally. Allah is on their side, and He becomes His eye, and He becomes His ears. So, when we work for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we let our children go, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect them no matter which environment they go to. They will stay protected as long as you have full trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ayah number 47. So go to Him and say, indeed, we are messengers of your Lord. So send with us the children of Israel and do not torment them. We have come to you with a sign from your Lord, and peace will be upon he who follows the guidance. Indeed, it has been revealed to us that the punishment will be upon whoever denies and turns away. Pharaoh said, so, who is the Lord of you two, O Musa? He said, our Lord is He who gave each thing its form and then guided. Pharaoh said, then what is the case of the former generation? Meaning, if you brought this deen now, what about the people who already passed away? Look at the smart Pharaoh was trying to be. Pharaoh was trying to make them question such thing that they would get speechless and they would turn away. But guess what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was with them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave hikmah to Musa alayhi salam, and He gave a perfect answer. And what is the answer? Ayah number 52. Musa said, the knowledge thereof is with my Lord. In a record, my Lord neither errs nor forgets, meaning I don't have to worry about them, you don't have to worry about them, Allah will take care of them. And this is the answer. Ayah number 53, it is He who has made for you the earth as a bed, spread out and inserted therein for you roadways, and sent down from sky rain and produced thereby categories of various plants. Eat therefrom and pasture your livestock. Indeed, in that are signs for those of intelligence. What do we learn from this paragraph? A mother was tested. Sometimes we as a mother are tested in different ways from our child and children. They may get ill, they may leave, they may go somewhere. So bear the test and rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and open up your chest and heart for Allah. Musa alayhi salam was tested since he was a baby. Allah hold the hearts of those who follow. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hold the heart of the mother of Musa, because it was not easy to let go of the baby like that. And also we learn about Musa's sister. So we learn that siblings are blessings. Do not fight with them. Try to keep kinship ties with them. Even if you are living far away with each other, make effort to call them, see them, FaceTime them, time them, text them, even though you may be very busy in your life. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for ease in life. It is perfectly okay. Never ask for hardship. Always ask for ease in life. And Allah gives personalized help for His worker. Tailor-made for Musa's life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them. So this is what people who work for Allah, they get. And dawah steps is connect people with Allah, not anything else. And give to the point information. This is exactly what Musa alayhi salam did to Fir'aun. Ask Allah to make your family assist you in the work of deen. In the next paragraph, from ayah number 55 to 76, we learn the beauty of conscious iman. Ayah number 55. مِنْهَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ وَفِيهَا نُعِيدُكُمْ وَمِنْهَا نُخْرِجُكُمْ تَارَةً أُخْرَى. From it, that is the earth, we created you, and into it we will return you, and from it we will extract you another time. Which time will it be? The day of resurrection. And we certainly showed him, that is Pharaoh, our signs, all of them, but he denied and refused. He said, have you come to us to drive us out of our land with your magic, O Musa? Then we will surely bring you magic like it. So make between us and you an appointment which we would not fail to keep, and neither you will in a place assigned. Musa alayhi salam said, your appointment is on the day of the festival when the people assemble at mid-morning. So Pharaoh went away, put together his plan, then came to Musa. Musa said to them, that is the magician summoned by Pharaoh. Woe to you. Do not invent a lie against Allah or he will exterminate you with a punishment, and he has failed who invents such falsehood. So they disputed over their affair among themselves and concealed their private conversation. They said, indeed, there are two magicians who want to drive you out of your land with their magic and do away with your most extreme exemplary way, that is a religion of our tradition. So resolve upon your plan and then come forward in line, and he has succeeded today who overcomes. They said, O Musa, either you throw or we will be the first one to throw. He said, rather, you throw. And suddenly their rope and staff seemed to him from their magic that they were moving like snakes, and he sensed within himself apprehension. Why? Because it's human. It's a human nature. It's okay to feel like that. And we, that is Allah, said, fear not, indeed. It is you who are superior. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does to a believer. When believers feel fearful in any situation, you and I can think of any situation that we have in our life. If we are fearful of that, know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can take the fear away because Allah is with us. And throw what is in your right hand, it will swallow up what they have crafted. What they have crafted is but the trick of the magician, and the magician will not succeed wherever he is. We learn magic is not allowed. Magicians will never succeed. And ayah number 70, so the magicians fell down in prostration. They said, we have believed in the Lord of the Harun and Musa. Question, what made the magicians fell down, and how come Pharaoh was watching the same show? He didn't. Answer, when Iman is shown, it enters the heart of a person who is willing to and who doesn't have any arrogance. So the beauty of the conscious Iman is it makes you so bold that you are not scared of anything. Let's make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you and I Iman, that give us enough confidence to hold on to Iman no matter how tough the situations may be. And Pharaoh said, you believed him, that is Musa, before I gave you permission. Indeed, he is your leader who has taught you magic. So I will surely cut off your hands and your feet on the opposite sides, and I will crucify you on the trunks of the palm trees, and he will surely know which of us is more severe in giving punishment and more enduring. Look at the punishment, the harshest punishment he can think of, and he's giving them that. And look at the magicians, they're still saying no. You know why? Because they saw the truth. And this is the beauty of conscious Iman. When a conscious Iman is in the heart, no matter what situation people may go through, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep them steadfast. They said, never will we prefer you over what has come to us. Clear proofs. This is conscious Iman. And over he who created us. So decree whatever you are to decree. You can only decree for this worldly life. This is a freedom, you know. This is the freedom people feel when they have the Iman. Other people might say, now they're being heard, they're being done, and this thing and that thing. But this is the liberation. Iman liberates you from this dunya. Iman frees you from this dunya. Indeed, we have believed in our Lord that he may forgive us our sins and what you compelled us to do of magic. And Allah is better and more enduring. And indeed, whoever comes to his Lord as a criminal, indeed, for him is hell. He will neither die therein nor live. But whoever comes to him as a believer having done righteous deed, for those will be the highest degrees in position, gardens of perpetual residence, beneath which river flows, wherein they abide eternally, and that is the reward of one who purifies himself. Notice the description of Jannah comes when people accept, when people give in. So in this paragraph we learn humans have physical limitations. They can feel scared. It's okay. As long as you rely upon Allah, you'll be taken out from that position. When feel fear, talk to Allah. Haqq, the truth, enters the heart upon realization. If haqq is inside, nothing scares a person. And Iman makes a person very strong. Ayah number 77 to 89, we learn what happens if the haqq comes in. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us here, that envy had inspired to Musa, travel by night with my servants and strike for them a dry path through the sea. You will not fear being overtaken by Pharaoh, nor be afraid of drowning. So Pharaoh pursued them with his soldiers, and they covered them from the sea, that which covered them. And Pharaoh led his people stray and did not guide. In ayah number 79, what do we learn? We learn here, like leader, like nation. If the leaders are bad, they'll take the whole ummah in a wrong way. So let's make dua, let's mantala, provide us with good leadership in our ummah so they can drive us in a right direction. So Pharaoh pursued them with his soldiers, and they covered them from the sea, that which covered them. And Pharaoh led his people astray and did not guide them. O children of Israel, we delivered you from your enemy, and we made an appointment with you at the right side of the mount, and we sent down to you manna and quail, saying, eat from the good things with which we have provided you, and do not transgress or oppress others therein, lest my anger should descend upon you, and he upon whom my anger descends has certainly fallen, that is perished. But indeed, I am the perpetual forgiver of whoever repents. I want you to highlight this ayah. وَإِنِّي لَغَفَّارٌ لِمَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا ثُمَّ اهْتَدَى. But indeed, I am the perpetual forgiver of whoever repents and believes and does righteous and then continue in guidance. Three steps are taken, and this is what we need to pay attention to. All three steps are needed in our life. Ayah number 83, Allah said, and what made you hasten from your people, O Musa? He said, they are close upon my tracks, meaning they are close upon my tracks, and I hasten to you, my Lord, that you be pleased. What do we learn in this ayah? We learn that Musa alayhi salam ran towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he got there early before his people. You know why? Because he had this love and he had desire to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here you and I can ask a question. If we had this love and desire to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we should be running towards Him. You know, our lifestyle, our daily talks, daily walks, daily errands, daily things that we have to do, it shows, it reflects what is it that we are after. If we are happy to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should be running towards Akhirah. We should be running towards our death. You know why? Because death is something very beautiful to a believer. You know why? Because death is the thing that is holding him away from his Lord. Here you and I can set a mindset for ourselves. I'll give you 5 second pause. Think about it. What is your goal? Musa alayhi salam ran towards seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because he had this desire. When you and I have desire to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to meet him one day, then for us, this dunya becomes temporary, and then we run towards Akhirah. Then the goodness of this dunya is there just for to live by it. Just enjoy it temporarily, and they don't enter the heart. You know, there's a famous saying, when people put their dunya in their heart, the problem begins. That doesn't mean that dunya is wrong. Dunya is something that is given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are supposed to live this dunya. We are supposed to use all the resources and all the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. We are supposed to enjoy it too. But the problem is, when people hold this dunya in their heart, then their heart is attached to get this dunya only. When people hold this dunya in their hand, not in the heart, then this dunya is not bad. For a believer, a true believer, this dunya stays in his hand, meaning he can easily let go of it whenever the time comes. He doesn't hold on to it. He doesn't say, no, I cannot let go. I cannot die. I want to do this. I want to accumulate this wealth and that mounts of gold and this. So, action item for us, live this dunya the way we're supposed to be living. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this dunya, enjoy it, use it, and make it as a means to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Allah, I did what I had to do in this dunya. Now I am here to see you. Accept me. Allah said, but indeed, we have tried your people after you departed, and the Samiri has led them stray. You and I, we need to look for Samiri in our life, because Samiri was the one who made them go astray by making an idol. We have Samiris in our life. We need to pay attention. Who is the Samiri in our life, in my life, who's telling me and distracting me and keeping me away from the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once we figure out who is the Samiri in my life, it could be sleep for somebody, it could be fashion for somebody, it could be food for somebody, it could be anything, it could be kids for somebody, right? So we need to know who is our Samiri, who is distracting us. So Musa returned to his people, angry and grieved. He said, O my people, did your Lord not make you a good promise? Then was the period too long for you? Or did you wish that the wrath from your Lord descend upon you? So you broke your promise of obedience to me. They said, we did not break our promise to you by our will, but we were made to carry burdens from the ornaments of the people of the Pharaoh. So we threw them into the fire, and thus did the Samiri throw. And he extracted for them the statue of a calf which had a lowing sound, and they said, this is your God and the God of Musa, but he forgot. Did they not see that it could not return to them any speech, that is, respond, and that is that it did not possess for them any harm or benefit? What did we learn from this paragraph? We learned that Allah can pull you out from darkness if you have a will and desire. Watch out a character in your life who can distract you. Bad leader takes a nation under with them. In the paragraph 90 to 104, caught by surprise. What did we learn in this? We learned here that and Harun had already told them before the return of Musa, O my people, you are only being tested by it, and indeed your Lord is the most merciful, so follow me and obey my order. The second character that comes in our life is Harun. People like Harun alayhi salam, who are always there to advise you, but it is up to you and I whether we listen to the character like Samiri in our life or whether we listen to the character like Harun in our life. When the people like Harun comes in our life and they tell us this is right and this is wrong, we say, who are you to tell? And when people like Samiri comes and tells us, do this and do that, we say, okay, let's do it. So we need to be very mindful of what characters do we have around us. Are they calling us towards Allah or are they calling us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Ayah number 91, they said, we will never cease being devoted to it, that is the calf, until Musa returns to us. Musa said, O Harun, what prevented you when you saw them going astray? Meaning a good leader is supposed to question when he appointed Harun alayhi salam as an assistant leader. When he was gone, when he came back, he asked him. And this shows a good leader should make his people accountable for the job they are given. Musa said, O Harun, what prevented you when you saw them going astray from following me? Then have you disobeyed my order? Harun said, O son of my mother, do not seize me by my beard or by my head. Indeed, I fear that you would say you caused division among the children of Israel and you did not observe or await my word. Musa said, and what is your case, O Samiri? He said, I saw that what they did not see. So I took a handful of dust from the track of the messenger and threw it. And thus did my soul entice me. Musa said, then go, and indeed it is decreed for you in this life to say no contact, no contact. La misas, la misas. And indeed you have an appointment in the hereafter. You will not fail to keep. And look at your God to which you remain devoted. We will surely burn it and blow it, that is, into ashes, into the sea with a blast. And your God is only Allah, except for whom there is no deity. He has encompassed all things in knowledge. Thus, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we relate these stories and we relate to you from the news of what has preceded, and we have certainly given you from us a message that is this Quran. Whoever turns away from it, then indeed he will bear on the day of resurrection a burden that is great sin, abiding eternally therein, and evil it is for them on the day of resurrection as a load. The day the horn will be blown, and we will gather the criminals that day, blue-eyed, that will murmur among themselves, you remained not but 10 days in the world. And we are most knowing of what they say when the best of them in manner, that is wisdom or speech, will say, you remain not but one day. What do we learn here? We learn here that the day of the judgment will be full of horror. The eyes will be bulging out. This is the day we really need to prepare for. And a good leader holds accountable. The leader of shirk is lonely in this dunya. Samiri called upon other people to do shirk, and in this dunya he got lonely too. Remind the horror of the day to yourself and others. This dunya is worth only a day or less. Think about it. And we work so hard to make things. This doesn't mean that you should leave the world, because this is not what Islam is. Islam doesn't teach rahbaniyat, meaning leaving the world and going to the mountains and just worship Allah. No. Islam says, live in this world, do everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has assigned you and I to do, and yet remember Allah all the time. In other words, Islam is a name of a religion of balance. It teaches you to balance. And balance is the hardest thing to do. This is why we need to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us balance in our life. Save us from israf. And this dunya is only for temporary time being. And find your own samiri, find your own calf in your life which is distracting you. Ayah number 105 to 115. Prepare the hearts now. Let's go. 105. And they ask you about the mountains. So say, my Lord will blow them away with the blast. Notice all these beautiful mountains. They will not be there. And he will leave it, that is the earth, a level plain. All these ups and downs and hills you see, the valleys you see in this dunya, they will not be there. It will be plain. You will not see therein a depression or an elevation. Use your imagination eyes and try to imagine all this. The day that everyone will follow the call of the caller with no deviation therefrom, and all voices will be still before the most merciful. So you will not hear except a whisper. That day, meaning the footsteps, because people will be just walking and there will be no other noise there. And ayah number 108, that day, that is, everyone will follow the call of the caller. The day no intercession will be benefit except that of one to whom the most merciful has given permission and has accepted his word, and that is Allah. He is Allah, and he knows what is presently before them and what will be after them, but they do not encompass it, that is, what he knows in knowledge, and all faces will be humbled. All faces will be humbled before the ever-living, the self-sustaining. And he will have failed who carries injustice, but he who does of righteous deeds while he is a believer, he will neither fear injustice nor deprivation. And thus, we have sent it down as an Arabic Quran and have diversified therein the warnings that perhaps they will avoid sin, or it would cause them remembrance. So high above all is Allah, the Sovereign, the Truth. And O Prophet, do not hasten with recitation of the Quran before its revelation is completed to you, and say, my Lord, increase me in knowledge. This is where the dua of knowledge is. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the revelation used to come, he used to recite it quickly so he doesn't forget. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, instead of doing that, don't worry about it. All you need to do is just make dua. Seek knowledge and make dua for seeking knowledge. So when you and I try to write everything, take all the notes, read all the slides, this is not the purpose, because that's an information only. The purpose is to really, the information goes into the heart. So just listen to this Quran with a mindset of tazkiyah, meaning purification of the soul. Prophet ﷺ was told not to recite Quran quickly, quickly in a hurry. What do we learn here? Say, Rabbi zidni ilma. O Allah, increase me in knowledge. And we had already taken a promise from Adam before, but he forgot and we found not in his determination. So, what do we learn here? Imagine walking that day, the earth will be plain, spread out. Quran makes you a thinker, it makes you think, and make dua for increase in knowledge. In the next ayahs, ayah number 116 to 128, be a visionary in this dunya. And mention, when we said to the angels, prostrate to Adam, and they prostrated except Iblis. Why this ayah comes so many times? Have you ever wondered? You know why? Because his sin was only done once, but Allah repeat this ayah many times because his sin was very grave. What we learn here is that disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a grave sin. So we said to Adam, indeed, this is an enemy to you and to your wife, then let him not remove you from paradise so you would suffer. Indeed, it is promised for you not to be hungry therein or be unclothed. And indeed, you will not be thirsty therein or be hot from the sun. And the shaitan, and then shaitan whispered to him, he said, O Adam, shall I grant you to the tree of eternity and possession that will not deteriorate, even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told everything. But shaitan said, no, I will tell you something. And this is what shaitan does to your life and mine. And they, that is Adam and his wife, ate of it, and their private part became apparent to them, and they began to fasten over themselves from the leaves of the paradise, and Adam disobeyed his Lord and erred. Then his Lord chose him and turned to him in forgiveness and guided us too. And Allah said, descend from it, that is paradise, all your descendants being enemies to one another. And if there should come to you a guidance from me, then whoever follows my guidance will neither go astray. Highlight this part. Whoever follows the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will neither go astray in this world nor suffer in hereafter. This is the end goal we should all have. And whoever turns away from my remembrance, indeed, he will have a depressed and difficult life. This is why you see all kinds of anxiety and depression in this dunya, because people have turned away from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already mentioned and warned us that if you leave my remembrance, I will make you depressed in this world. And you will have a difficult life. And we will gather, raise him on the day of resurrection blind. And he will say, my Lord, why have you raised me blind while I was once seeing? Notice the people who stay blind, not the physical blind, but the blind by the heart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise them blind on the day of resurrection. Allah will say, thus did our signs come to you and you forgot, that is disregarded them. And thus will you this day be forgotten, meaning you'll stay blind on this day. And thus do we recompense he who transgressed and did not believe in the signs of his Lord, and the punishment of the hereafter is more severe and more enduring. And then has it not become clear to you, clear to them, how many generations we destroyed before them as they walk among their dwellings? Indeed, in that are signs for those of intelligence. What do we learn in this paragraph? When a person forgets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah makes life hard. Keep your eyes open or else they will be taken away in the hereafter. Shaitan only disobeyed once, but Allah mentioned him over and over because it's a grave sin he did. Ayah number 129 to 135, we learn that wait till you find out. And if not for a word that proceeded from your Lord, it, that is punishment, would have been an obligation due immediately, and if not for a specified term decreed. So be patient over what they say and exalt Allah with praise of your Lord before the rising of the sun and before its setting, and during the periods of the night exalt him. Tahajjud prayer is important, and at the end of the day, that you may be satisfied. And do not extend your eyes towards that by which we have given enjoyment to some categories of them. It's being but the splendor of the worldly life by which we tested them, and the provisions of your Lord is better and more enduring. And enjoin prayer upon your family. Highlight this ayah. We have to do that. Salah is very important part. praise Allah together. And people, be steadfast therein. We ask you not for provision. We provide for you, and the best outcome is for those of righteousness. And they say, why does he not bring us a sign from his Lord? Has there not come to them evidence of what was in the former scripture? And if we had destroyed them with a punishment before him, they would have said, our Lord, why did you not send to us a messenger so we could have followed your verses, that is teachings, before we were humiliated and disgraced? Say, each of us is waiting. Are we waiting too? Yes, we are. For you will know who are the companions of the sound path and who is guided. People can argue whatever they want. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will let us know who is on the right path. So the lesson with this paragraph we learn is that be a slave of Allah 24/7, not only during the salah time only. Do tasbih and remember Allah all the time. Invite others towards salah. Say each other, we are waiting, so we are waiting also, and move towards a better self, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only provider. And the dua, let's repeat it again, inshallah. Rabbi shrahli sadri wa yassirli amri wahlul uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli waj'alni waziran min ahli ujdud bihi azri. And the inshallah, here we're going to end our session here. What is this? The take-home point today is, Rabbi Zidni Ilma. Oh Allah, increase me in knowledge. Inshallah. With that, we're going to end our today's session. And we will see you tomorrow with a new lesson. Tomorrow we're going to do that, just 17. Until then, Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayh. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. جزاكم الله خيرا كثيرا. بحسن الله سيستر فايزة. الحمد لله رب العالمين. Another beautiful session. سبحان الله. Loads of heart-touching points. الحمد لله. And مبروك to you all for all your intention to learn Quran. الحمد لله. And registering your name with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by typing one right away. Then Sister Faiza asked, subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put loads of barakah in your intention to seek knowledge. As I said the other day, that we have to hold on each other's hand for our learning quest, giving each other support when Shaitan will try to misguide us and make learning of the Quran the most difficult task of the world. In reality, if we are passionate about obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and by your presence in this proof, you know, that you are passionate indeed. So then it is not at all difficult, inshallah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be our helper every step of the way, inshallah wa ta'ala. Having said that, I want you to please write a point which touch your heart, and which you will take it with you from today's session, inshallah wa ta'ala. If anybody wants to come on mic, they are most welcome. Ilm is a combination of knowledge and manners. Exactly. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Adab is very important. Develop connection with Allah through salah, right? Salah, when we pray salah, it is the connection we develop with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dua should be private with the correct intention. Indeed, indeed. Because it is, you are seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help, you know, and it bring family to salah. Okay, yeah, indeed. And then you can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help, help of the family, you know, that they should be side by side when you learn, and you know, when you do da'wah, and they should be side by side with you in that family to work together exactly towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We must have conviction in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, connect with Allah through salah, and invite family. Indeed, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. The message is pretty clear. Alhamdulillah, you got the message, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expect us to do. Allah guarantees that whoever acts upon Quran, he will not go astray, both in dunham and akhirah. Yes, indeed, both in... Yes, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. Dunya, balancing our lives, invite others towards Salah. Exactly. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Jazakumullah khairan kathira. Wasan jaza. Importance of attaining knowledge for the sake of our children. That was also a very, very important point, because if mother does not know, how would she teach her children? And mother's lap is the kid's first school. Education is combination of ilm and adab. Exactly. Talk to Allah with conviction. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. All the points are noted, and I'm praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us act on all of them. Involve your family, whole family, and get them on the same page. That's also a very, very important point. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among the inheritors of Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us establish Salah so we can make an unbreakable connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, help us make the best of rest of the Ramadan. Ya Allah, we have many shortcomings. Ya Allah, grant and honor us with your maghfirah. Ya Allah, you are a Samir. Answer our du'as. Ya Allah, we are seeking your guidance. Please grant us. As you promised, seek help and I will grant you. Call upon me and I will answer. Ya Allah, we are calling upon you. Ya Allah, help us, guide us to raise the best ummah. Ya Allah, grant us wisdom to take lessons from Quran and save us from heedless behavior. Ameen, summa ameen. Allahumma a'inni ala zikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Allahumma innaka afuwwun tuhibbul 'afwa fa'fu 'anna fa'fu 'anna fa'fu 'anna. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an ushrika bika wa ana a'lamu wa astaghfiruka lima la a'lamu. Rabbi irhamhuma kama rabbayani saghira. Rabbi irhamhuma kama rabbayani saghira. Rabbi irhamhuma kama rabbayani saghira. ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة اعين واجعلنا للمتقين اماما ربنا هب لنا من لدنك رحمه وهيئ لنا من امرنا رشدا رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي ربنا زدنا علما امين ثم امين. Take good care of yourself. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from the share of shaitan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us in His hifzu aman and in His afiyat, and keep us steadfast on the journey through Quran. Ameen, summa ameen. If life and health permitted, inshallah wa ta'ala, we will see you all tomorrow with a new juz, new lessons, inshallah wa ta'ala. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al mursaleen walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta as-sami'ul alim. وتب علينا وتب علينا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على رسول خير خلق محمد وعليه وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين آمين ثم آمين جزاكم الله خيرا كثيرا بسم الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
اللهم لك الحمد أنت نور السماوات والأرض.